cartridge.
Black on Black on Black. You are here with DJ Queen and
D. Big D. Fantastic.
What up? What it do? What it does, homie? We are in what? Big Pride Week, baby.
Pride Week.
For those of you who do not know or are new to San Francisco, this is the major Pride Week.
Hey,
we have
yeah.
events going on every single day, and we will get into those in a second.
Hey, yeah.
But for those who are not familiar with the show, this is your first time tuning in, or you just accidentally stumbled across this bitch, welcome. This is Black on Black on Black. The show evolves around a Bay Area native, that was me,
yep,
and a transfer from the Sizzity South.
Hey, yo!
Exploring the real San Francisco and larger Bay Area, finding scenes, creating memes,
and being obscene.
Listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and to learn about the local artists who make it all happen. So, Dee, what are we doing this month? Besides, you know, big pride shit.
So, we are breaking down me and Queen's, like, all-time favorite movie of all time ever. Sinners, baby! Let's go! It's the hottest vampire ever. Anyways, we're breaking down the movie, and there's a lot of different themes that we've been exploring. So, like, we've been doing it week by week by week. And this week is...
religion!
Hey, yo! So, yeah, very excited to talk about this. So there's a lot of very deep, important, like, spiritual themes in this movie, which is pretty dope.
And so, just as an upfront spoiler alert, we will be talking in depth about the movie.
Yes.
We will definitely be spoiling some shit.
Yes.
So, if you have not seen it, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, what the fuck you doing?
I don't know what you're doing.
At this point, you are racist. If you have not seen this movie by now, you are racist.
Boy, and if you are black and you haven't seen this, what's going on?
The coonery is real. Coon alert.
What's good? You can still go see it in select theaters. I know it's still playing in Oakland, so you could definitely go there. There's probably a couple theaters that in San Francisco that it's
if
still
not,
playing.
You can buy it on Amazon, I think.
I've already bought it. I've also seen this movie 6 times.
Yeah.
I don't know what anybody's excuse is. Right
now. Yeah. I've seen it 3 times. So.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. So, before we jump into it, just want to highlight some events that are going on before we toss it to our also special guest. But first, events. So for Pride Week, there's usually something going on every day. I'm going to highlight events that are coming up from Wednesday through Sunday. So on Wednesday, you have the BBQ, which is super cute. It'll be at Dolores Park. So this is for all my bi and pan folks. It's a lunch event. So it starts at around 3-4 p.m. And you'll see it. They're usually doing jazz aerobics out there. It's real cute. For those who they'll have the bi flag as well as the pan flag out. So if you're looking for an event specifically for that audience, which is me, I identify as bi pan. Please come on out. That'll be at Dolores Park. And then on Thursday. God, what's going on Thursday? Oh shoot, I didn't find a Thursday event. Oh. You know what's going on Thursday?
Huh.
Flag football, baby.
Oh, yeah. Flag football. I'm playing flag football. Come see Big D.
Yeah.
To be fair, so the actual flag... The reason why we're highlighting this week is because the Flag Football League is actually ran and supported by like queer femme individuals and non-binary and trans individuals. So I just happen to be an ally playing a part of the sport, but like most everyone there, if not everybody else, is part of the LGBTQ community. So y'all should come out and see us. Very exciting. What better way to show my allyship than just joining a part of the community?
Where's it going
to
be at, homie?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be at the Alameda Estuary Park. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's happening on Thursday. So we have two games going on, one at 7:15, one at 8:30. Mm-hmm. My game's at 8:30. Another one of our friends' game is at 7:15. So come out,
what's
be there.
Your team?
Oh, my team's name is the Sugar Daddies.
That's right, baby. Sugar and Hope.
So, yeah.
Sugar and
Hope. So, if you support the Sugar Daddies, wear blue. Blue is our team color. Mm-hmm. And cheer me on, bro.
Who y'all playing?
Oh, God, we're playing Candy Shop.
I'll take you to the Candy Shop. We'll take the
lollipop. What?
Oh, my bad. Keep going until you hit the spot. Whoa.
Wow.
So that's your Thursday Pride activity.
Yep,
come on
yep,
out.
Yep.
Whether you're a part of the queer community or if you're an ally, a friend, yeah, a family member, all are welcome.
Look at me. I'm right. Literally part of it as an ally.
I'll definitely let you know if any of the events, like, you definitely gonna want to identify as maybe one of these particular communities are being celebrated.
Right.
But flag football,
no, open. It doesn't matter.
Now
the question is, what percent of people in the Flag Football League believe or know that I'm an ally? What do you think, Queen?
That believe you're an ally?
Yeah.
Baby, zero. I'm sorry. Have you had any sort of... Has anyone had made any sort of a even inquiry?
No.
Because they totally believe you're...
Yeah.
So I went to one of the games like a couple of weeks ago, and someone in the crowd was like, oh... Who's your person? And you know what? I just like, oh, that one right there.
Right. Instead of being like, oh, my best right there. Friend, not my person.
But you kind of are like my person. Like, you're one of my people. Like,
Set me up, bro. Set me up for failure.
I didn't feel the need to overly correct. I was like, yeah. It still applies. That one right there.
I mean, it definitely applies.
With the rainbow visors. Right.
Yeah,
and the rainbow tattoo and the multicolored hair. Yeah, yeah, that one. That's me.
Yeah, just to be clear, I don't have a rainbow tattoo. There is a tattoo on me that's big, and a part of it is a rainbow. Not just a rainbow tattoo. I want to be very clear here.
I would love for us to post this tattoo
photo
and just get it. Like, is this a rainbow tattoo?
It's not a rainbow tattoo. That's not the main focus of it.
Maybe I'm looking at it. I can see a piece of it right now, and all I see is the rainbow.
Because that's the entail part of it. You
it's
know,
like
whatever.
The, it's we like the central piece.
We don't have time for this.
Anyway,
it's not the central piece at all. Going on.
After Thursday, on Friday, once you get into Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but all of those days in SF Pride usually have some sort of a particular community in mind. So Friday will be a lot of the trans identifying events. So you have the Trans March, which if you have never been to any of the marches for Pride, go to the Trans March, especially right now. But in general, that is just such a beautiful...
That's a bad photo, dude.
Here we are. It is such a beautiful, political, celebratory, just like... march, right? We're not talking about a parade. We're talking about a march, right? We're talking about resistance. We're talking about for political freedom. It's the Trans March. That will be on Friday, June 27th. It starts at Dolores Park and it ends at Civic Center. It's one of the larger marches that happen. I suspect it'll even be larger this year, given everything going on politically.
Yep.
And it starts at 6 p.m. Goes all the way down. Now, at the same time, there's also the SF Opera Pride concert that starts at 6:30 p.m. So San Francisco Opera has been a proud participant in San Francisco Pride since the 1980s. They are delighted to celebrate LGBTQIA+ community with a very special evening of music, immersive projections, post-show dance party featuring MC Safira Cristal.
Oh, shit. Let's go.
Yay. So we also have a very close friend, Shane Zaldiva, who will also be giving an important speech at 6:30. So if you can go by that, definitely check it out. Again, you can go to the SF Opera Pride concert and then catch the tail end of the Trans March. Honestly, I would suggest trying to do as much as possible.
Yep.
Because it's Pride, baby. Go all out. Go big, go home.
Yep.
And so that is Friday. Saturday now. Saturday is for my queer
Femmes, baby, Pink Saturday, bitch. So we got the Dyke March, which is being, which is actually being organized by Dykes on Bikes. They are awesome. That will also be at Dolores Park. In general, you're going to want to hang out at Dolores Park all day on Saturday. So that's where a lot of the queer femmes will be centered. Don't go downtown. Downtown is the commercial pride. That's a parade. That's not, remember, pride is a riot. It's a resistance. It's not just a party. You know, we come together, we celebrate, we have ceremony, but there's always political resistance involved. So the Dyke March will be happening on June 28th. It starts at 5 p.m. It'll start at Dolores and 18th Street, and that also goes down to Civic Center. Definitely be there. And then afterwards, baby, we have a full day of events. You have Mango at El Rio. Them tickets have sold out. Yo, if you have a ticket, help your girl out.
Help your girl out, y'all.
Help your girl out.
She's black. Come on,
I
now.
I usually try and sneak into this. If you are with El Rio, if you see a black woman and her name is Queen, that's me, baby. Let me in.
Yeah.
Let me in.
Yo, we go with tickets for Queen. Come on now. Come on.
Now, I will say where the marches, I don't think you have to be a part of that community to march. Like the trans march, the dyke march, being an ally also suffices. Just understand you are a guest there, right?
Yeah, of course.
If you're a straight person, this ain't your time to flirt, baby.
Yeah.
This is not for you. This is not for you.
That's crazy.
Maybe trans march, go for it. But you know what? Like just be mindful of your presentation there.
Of course. I'm always mindful.
Baby, the problem is no one's mindful of you. That's the problem. People are like, oh no, community.
I just want to be mindful of the space that I take up.
Yeah, you know? And in everyone else's mind, they're like, yeah, welcome. You've been here. You grew here, baby. Right. You didn't fly here, you grew here.
Right.
And so, but for Mango is specifically queer femme event.
Yep.
My trans girlies are welcome. My lesbians are welcome. My bisexual femmes are welcome. Mm-hmm. It is a woman space. Yep. All right?
Yeah.
So non-binary born assigned female, welcome. Non-binary born assigned male, welcome. But be careful, because that is really supposed to be a space for femmes. And honestly, it does turn into a little bit of a cruising spot, because lesbians just universally usually don't get that kind of culture.
Right.
So just be mindful what that space is. If you know another queer femme and they're looking for an event and they want to get out there, they want to swear, they want to get their thing going, try to go to Mango.
This is why I do not go to Mango.
I'm gonna respect that for you this year.
Yes.
If you are accompanying your lesbian homegirl because she ain't got no other friends,
well, of course, that's fine. That's different.
That's totally fine. Yes. You know, safety in numbers. Truly believe in that.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't have a ticket, what you can do is you need to get there early as fuck, because they do sell tickets right at the door. That line,
really?
Baby, is going to be the longest line you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
So it starts at 8.
Oh,
realistically,
get like 5.
You got to get there at 5.
Yeah.
You got to get there at 5. You might need to miss the Dyke March.
Yeah.
You might need
one or the other, because literally once the Dyke March is over, you bet all the niggas going.
Yeah, bro,
immediately.
Yeah. Some of them just gonna leave the march. I'm not gonna. Some,
no, of course.
As soon as the march starts leaving the mission, they're gonna be like, all right, it's good.
Bye, Mango.
To Mango we go. As a regular thing. And then so there's a couple. There's the main Pride event going on at on Sunday. Of course, that's the big Pride parade. I personally don't call that a march. It's a parade. It's super commercial. They have all the DJ sets down there. Don't get me wrong. We've all visited that as our first time. But just understand that is very much like more parade, commercialized Pride. There'll still be people hanging out at Dolores Park if you would like to go to that. Honestly, I am going to go. So not this Sunday. Let me see. So the better event to go to on Sunday, June 29th, is at Stern Grove. They're going to have Sleater-Kinney, super lesbian. Super lesbian. It's going to be a good vibe there. I highly suggest if you can get tickets, if your friends got some lottery tickets, if you know some ballers that got reserved tables, holler at your girl.
Holler at your girl.
Because I would like to sit at someone's table.
Of course. Yeah.
I'd like a bottle.
I'm that bitch. Yeah. I would like it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But Sleater and Kinney is going to be playing Sunday, June 29th at Stern Grove. Again, it's a free event. You can get the lottery tickets. The lottery tickets have been closed, but I guarantee you somebody you know has tickets. So just ask around. You can even go there and try to, you know, queer it up a bit. I guarantee you a queer person will be like, come on, baby, we rolling. Right. It's queer weekend.
Right. So. Ask around, shake some hands, make out, you know, do a little hand action, whatever you got to do. Yeah.
An old rub and tug. Anyway. And then I'm going to hand it over to Dee to go through our black happenings.
All right, we're just going to go through these very quickly because we have a lot to talk about in this religious episode. Real quick, Diddy's case. So it seems like it's going to be actually ending pretty soon because the defense team says they will not call any witnesses.
Hey, guys, we got nothing. We didn't try to dismiss this case about 550 times.
I mean, they cross-examined some people on the stands, like whatever, but I found that hella funny. I was like, hey, yo, you're not bringing anybody back.
We got it, baby. Wow. That's it. That's all we have for you.
Okay. So prosecution expects to rest the case tomorrow. So we will see what's up with that. Unbeknownst to anybody that I think cares, Oklahoma City Thunder wins a 2025 NBA championship.
It's Pride weekend. No one cares. Fuck about that.
I haven't even been paying attention
at all
between the world news and everything. I don't know where the fuck is Oklahoma. I don't care.
Honestly, I was like, does Durant still play? Apparently, he does not. I was like, damn, I missed that.
Yeah. Okay, another thing. So Jay-Z apparently makes a surprise appearance on stage during Beyonce's Cowboy Carter show in Paris. And I can only imagine the face of like half of that crowd who loved Lemonade being like, why the fuck is this dusty camel ass nigga on stage?
Ain't nobody
right now
here to see you. Ain't nobody we didn't here come to here for you, Otis. Don't nobody care about you, Otis.
Yes.
Get off the stage. We here for Blue stage. Ivy and Beyonce.
Get out of there. Like,
Tina is welcomed as well.
Like, yes. Like, why are you here? Like, no, thank you. And I know y'all seen this shit. Megan Good posting up with her husband, Jonathan Majors, at the Impact Awards.
I will say, Megan Good just always looks great.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, I appreciate her. Yeah. I don't know. Them as a couple.
It's weird, bro.
It feels forced.
It's super weird.
It feels forced.
Basically, everyone was dragging his ass because he went in, had issues with that white chick. told her to act like Coretta Scott King.
That's crazy.
And then dates Megan Good. It's like, come on, bro.
To tell a white woman you need to act like Coretta Scott King is wild coon behavior.
The corneries on him.
That's wild behavior.
You couldn't be more
all the way around. If I was a white woman, I'd be like, bitch, what do you think this is?
You couldn't be more coonish if you caught me in a trash can in the middle of the night in a back alley in New York City. The coonery is off the charts.
It's like incredible.
It's incredible. Wild. So they did that. And of course, the discourse was like, ugh. But also, they look great, but also, ugh. And I was like,
she looks great.
Yeah.
She looks great.
Yeah, I don't trust him ever.
Yeah. Some seem suspicious there.
Yeah.
Sad though, because he's a good actor.
No, he's a good actor. And I at one point thought he was really attractive.
If
but
you're,
now I
if
can't.
You're wondering what actor we're talking about, Jonathan Majors, right? His last name?
Yeah.
He was in Last Black Man of San Francisco.
Oh, I love that movie.
He was set to play Kane in the Marvel show series.
He was in Creed too.
He was in Creed 2 or 3. I think it was 3.
3.
I think
maybe.
It was 3.
Yeah.
And then he was opposite. In
Lovecraft Country.
Lovecraft Country.
Like, you know him.
You
but,
know him.
But pretty much after his old domestic assault case, everyone kind of dropped him.
Yeah. He did a movie recently as a, steroided out bodybuilder.
I didn't know anything about that.
Apparently, I don't know. I haven't really checked it out or anything because it was, really not heavily promoted. But, he caught a case.
Of course.
Domestic violence case, and that tarnished his career, as it should.
Yes,
as
absolutely.
It should. whenever that happens.
And it's so funny because it reminds me of Shannon Sharp. I was like, y'all just can't leave these young white women alone. You can't. You just can't. You can't. And here we are. Anyways, so then the last little quick black happening. Speaking of Kevin Durant, apparently the Phoenix Suns.
I saw this. I was like, he ain't on Oklahoma City. No.
Phoenix Suns are trading Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. How many times has nigga been traded? Honestly.
You know how he found
What's
out
going on?
In the middle of like he was speaking at a conference and the crowd was just like, oh, you got traded. He was like, word.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But you know, good luck to you, Kevin Durant. I will say this. He doesn't seem like a bad dude, you know? Like, I don't really know much about him, at all. It just kind of exists. He is an unfortunate-looking man. And that sucks. You know? Like... Girl, like, I'm like, sometimes, like, I don't say that about a lot of people, but sometimes I'm like, God, like, that sucks.
No comment.
That sucks. I mean, hey, look, I'm not the hottest bitch around. I can guarantee somebody's like, ugh, but whatever. Can't yuck somebody's yum.
Someone out there getting taken down.
Somebody out there getting taken down. I mean, I have a kid, so I have evidence, yeah. You know?
You see. Okay. All right. All right.
Somebody's into me. Anyways, enough about that.
enough about that. And we're moving on to our introduction of our special guest. So, who do we have in our audience today? Who's our special guest? Announce yourself.
Que lo que hay. What's good, John? Rafa Sarri Bustamante. Colombiano, originally born in San Francisco. Now I divide my time between Spain and the Bay. And yeah, just here to see what's up. Mm.
And Rafa, what do you do? What are you about?
Soy un músico. I got a big group called La Gente SF. We do la cumbia, reggaeton, salsa, champeta, hip hop, all that. Mm. And we're currently on tour right now. I played about 4 shows since I got here a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And we just have shows pretty much every weekend for the next 3 or 4 months. So check out La Gente SF. You know, Instagram, Spotify, all that bullshit.
Yes. Listen. So we have asked Rafa to come in today as someone who also practices a specific African religion that is found within South America that is blended with not only just Yoruba, also has indigenous as well as Catholicism elements some versions of it. And so we thought, who better to bring in than someone who is actually practicing, right? Because neither Dee nor myself officially really like are deep diving and practice some of these religions that we're going to talk about. And we think it's really important that if we're going to talk about a subject, we can bring in someone who has the lived experience of being in that and has studied it to like speak about it from a little bit more of a higher academic or knowledge filled sort of perspective.
Yeah.
And so Dee, before we get into our first round of music, did you have a would you rather prompt?
Of course I have a would
Rafa,
you rather.
You have to answer.
Yeah, no, Rafa. Everyone has to answer.
It's going to be some wild shit.
Okay. No. It's always a part of the theme. Okay, so this theme is, would you rather the strictest form of Christianity is real? That is real. It is undisputed. Ooh. Like heaven, hell, all of that is very real. Like it is completely real. There is no getting around it. Like all of that shit.
Which form of the Bible is being enforced here?
I mean, well, you got to take everything into context. So, you know, basically, New Old Testament God is no longer like that God, right? So it's New Testament God, but you got to do what was written in shit. So, you know, reincarnation is real. However, you have to live every single life that a human has ever existed until humans die. And then you move on.
Until this species goes extinct?
Yes. You have to live every single human that has ever lived, ever, until the species is
every
extinct.
Single human who has ever every, lived? Every,
from the yes. beginning of time until the yes. end of time.
Until
the end.
I got to be everybody?
You got to be everybody.
Is that even... That's not possible.
It is possible. Because you transcend space and time. Your soul is not tethered to space and time. So let's say you die in 3000 BC. You can come back.
So I got to come back as a Zodiac killer?
Yes. Yeah, you also will be coming back as one of his victims. You also will be coming back as Hitler. You'll also be coming back as Martin Luther King.
Wait, are you allowed to change things if you're in that lifetime?
No, then like, you just come back. No, you experience...
I'm just supposed to live... Do I know I'm doing
this? You never know this. You just are doing it over and over and over and over. Yes.
And I don't even realize that I'm just doing things over and over and over again.
Yes.
or like the most strictest version of
Christianity.
Fuck. Oh man, as a queer black person right now. But you know what? There's nothing that says that women can't like women. I just wanna point that out. That there's no verse.
That is a good point. Although maybe in this version you'd have to like get like the original Bible, like the original like Aramaic shit. And like what they said,
I might roll the dice with that.
If hell is real, nah, bro. I need to.
You gonna be down there.
No. I need to be on my shit. I'm like,
but you know, maybe hell is just like a swanky club.
No, it's not. It's not that. It's the absence of light.
It's just a void of terribleness and nothing.
I'm not trying to experience.
I can't do that.
Like, basically, alone? With the other reincarnation, no. you're asking to come back and go through everything that Jesus Christ went through.
Yes.
In like, multiple lives.
Yes.
Where, like, you just, everything.
And you get tortured and shit, like, all the time. But then you also be the torturer. You get to be, you're a rapist, dude.
I mean, also, we're only talking about the bad things. There also are some really lovely life experiences that we get to have.
100%.
You know, that would be really interesting and gain perspective and have to live that life.
I'm sweating, bro.
I know, I am too. I'm talking around because I actually don't know which one I'm going to choose. Rafa, do you feel like?
I would definitely choose, like, the hellish reincarnation to... So, like, the fundamentalist Christianity being real, fuck that. No, I will live every horrible lifetime then deal with that other alternate
reality. I don't know, dude. Nah. Getting the things that humans
you're
have
gonna
done.
You're going to come back as Trump.
The things that humans have done to people and, like, knowing that I'm going to do that and I'm also going to be a victim of that. Like, dude, I can't rape a kid. I think I just need to take Christianity.
Yeah, you're gonna
I think I need to take Christianity. I can't rape kids. That's going to happen too many times. I can't do that. I'd rather, and I will reform myself.
I will reform myself,
bro.
Can you change what you do? Or like,
no. No, you can't. Why would you be able to change it?
You have to live that life as destined.
Yeah, as destined. Right. As it was.
So you're just like a passenger just kind of riding along.
You just don't know that, but
Fuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot to con...
Yeah. Like, humans have done some really cool shit. We've done some really fucked up shit, and there's things going down right now.
I also just don't want to keep coming back and doing this.
Yes, over and over again.
I don't want to keep coming back and doing this. There ain't no rest.
What if that's what makes people serial killers? You've been here too much. You just can't handle it.
I can see that.
You'd lose your shit.
I can see that.
Humanity just doesn't even matter to you anymore. Your soul is tired.
Conscious that you have been here before,
but you just don't even know. You're like, I'm fucking. I don't fucking care.
It don't matter.
It don't matter.
I think I'm gonna choose heaven and hell.
Yeah. I need. My tattoos. Oh my god.
What?
Oh my god, what do I do? What do I do with my tattoos?
I don't know.
Do I get rid of them?
I don't have any tattoos.
Well, hold on. He forgives. So
yeah, you'd have to become a born again. Like you need to fully give your from this day forward.
You fully got to give your life. I got it. I mean, it's not that bad.
Nah, that ain't good enough. You're still going to hell. Fuck you.
Well, no, but it's just not them. It's like what the Bible says.
Jesus
is so helpful. Jesus understands.
Jesus got us.
Jesus got us. Yeah.
Did he die?
No, he got us. So Christianity all the way. I can't do the things that humans have done. I can't.
Hilarious. Bro, we both, you know what happened? We both died. We see each other going down the escalator and be like, damn.
No,
see Rafa going on the wheel of reincarnation. The assigned title is Child Molester.
God, yeah,
that's an ending to a movie for sure.
Yeah, no, for real. Oh my god, Brittany, you're gonna be so sad, dude.
I know, bro.
I'd be like, bro, I thought I did everything.
I know, bro.
Oh my god,
then it'd be like, nah, bro, we're going down separate escalators to hell because we're not gonna be together.
No, of course not, no, because that wouldn't be hell.
No, you go to the left, you go to the right, Rafa, there's your wheel. There's your wheel, baby. Spin it, spin it.
Tick, 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 tick. Jeffrey Epstein.
Catholic priest.
Hey, and again.
Boy, leader of the CIA. Here we are. Just horrible things.
Horrible things.
All right, so let's get into our first round of music. I do just want to remind folks for the playlist, how we're going to start it off is, like, we're definitely going to go into more spiritual ceremony songs that are embedded within the various religions that we're going to talk about. So we're going to start with things that are more African-inspired or are more based in African tradition, reminding that there are other larger inspirations involved in that. We'll discuss those when we get back. And then the second half will be more Irish focus. So we're getting some Celtic paganism. I saw D, you found some really good songs. I was vibing to those in the car. So I'm really excited to also hear the second half. So I hope you all enjoy. Make sure you turn it up. And again, you're listening to Black on Black on Black, baby.
I'm going to go. Pomi si le fie jewe, a pata kimale kala ye o simale, ogun ye. Ala kuro le yi, ala kuro le umo.
Ae, 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 ala kuro le umo.
Ala kuro le yi, ala kuro le umo.
Ae, 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 ala kuro le umo.
Ala kuro le yi, ala kuro le umo.
Ae, 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 ala kuro le umo.
Meje ogun meje. Meje mi moje, meje ogun meje, ogun bragada e ogun bragada, ogun bragada e ogun bragada.
Welcome back. This is Black on Black on Black. You are here with DJ Queen and...
D-Fantastic.
Bro, what's wrong with you?
Okay, so I found the verse.
The verse of what?
Bro, you can't be fucking women either.
What's the verse?
Okay, so Romans 1, 24 through 29, with the help of this. Therefore, God gave them over in sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies to one another, right? Blah, blah, blah. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another.
That seems of an interpretation.
No! You can't.
That seems of an interpretation.
No, bro.
I'm not hearing sin from that. I'm hearing interpretation.
What?
So,
that's the same guy who said slavery is great.
So, back to what we were exploring. We are here to talk about sinners. Welcome to our religion episode. We are going to be diving in into and dissecting some of the religious aspects of the movie Sinners. One of the key things that was central to this film is really the exploration of African-infused spiritualities and religions in juxtaposition to a Christianity identity. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of symbolism that is brought in, and you have a direct character such as Annie who is actively practicing hoodoo. So before we dive really deep into that, we wanted to offer a little bit of origin and background on African-infused spiritualities within the Americas. And just to remind people, when you say America, it does not just mean the United States.
What? No way.
You know, like when we say the Americas, that is a very large area. North America includes Canada, you know, Mexico, and then you have South America, which is also, so we're thinking larger, these large continents, right? The various places in which slaves were brought to during the transatlantic slave trade. And so when we talk about sort of these types of spiritualities, right, we're talking about Santeria, we're talking about voodoo, we're talking about hoodoo, we're talking about Shago from Trinidad and Tobago. What we're really getting at is starting with the Yoruba people as an ethnic group that originated in West Africa, specifically in present-day Nigeria and Benin. However, their influence and traditions have spread far beyond that place of origin, right? So the Yoruba culture and its associated religions has played a significant role in shaping societies and cultures many countries across the Americas, specifically speaking, Brazil, Cuba, Trinidad and Tobago. There are obviously a large amount. There's not a country in South America, in the Americas, that does not have black people. I just want to say that because there's a lot of people who up until recently didn't even know that Afro-Latinos were a thing.
That's wild.
Yeah. Well, that's our...
I mean, we may not fuck with Argentina that much, and we still there.
Never will.
We're sparse in that bitch, yeah, but, you know...
But we see you.
We're in there.
Y'all gave them tango, so, hey,
you know. We see you. So, just, like, want to put that out there. And so, this also extends to such U.S. territories such as New Orleans and other southern states that also have religious practices that are done amongst African Americans, which is not... Sometimes it's not that talked about of a thing because of the way that Christianity was so enforced upon African Americans in particular, but there are absolutely African infused spiritualities that are for sure practiced here, and we have things that are even passed down. So to get back on topic, the Yoruba people were brought to the Americas as slaves during the transatlantic slave trade. However, despite the harsh conditions of slavery and depending on their location, they were really able to maintain quite a few of their traditional beliefs and customs. And again, especially, I would say, especially in South America, there's a lot of religious practices that were infused with the colonizing practices or also were incorporated in conjunction with indigenous practices, right? Yep. So because there were indigenous people there that are not indigenous black people. Whoever you are who out there, if you are one of those people who is like, black people have always been here and no. We are the true indigenous people and the Israelites, I need you to stop.
No, Hoteps, get out of here.
I need you to stop because you're erasing a whole group
history,
of people.
Dude.
And that's, stop it. Stop.
stop it. I'm looking at you, my male cousins, because y'all be coming with that hotel stuff hard. I'm stop it.
Why, man? Why can't we just be from Africa? Like, what's wrong with that?
I know. What is wrong with that?
Like, I just accept
what is wrong with that?
Move past it.
We do need to explore, because like, the way that some black people be trying to dodge, like, they were never slaves is crazy.
I'm like, that's wild.
It's crazy.
I'm like,
it does not need to be this identity of shame.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's not like I voluntarily jumped in. It's not like I said slavery was a choice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, we were in that bitch. Like, you know, it's whatever not, it is, what it is.
Every place that's experienced slavery,
it's a worldwide thing.
It is our part of our history, and actually we should be incredibly proud of the work that our ancestors did to free them.
To survive and free
themselves. That is something to stand big on, and the impact of African-American culture especially is something to always be proud of.
Yes.
I've been asked if I feel shame about slavery. No, I don't.
What?
Hell no. I don't feel that. I ain't my shame. That's white people's shame.
Yeah.
I ain't got shit to do with
I'm
me.
Annoyed. I'm angry. But that nothing to do with me.
No, at all. So one of the most significant of these kind of contributions to religion is known as Ifa, which I'm gonna toss it in a second to Rafa to kind of give us more context around. But Ifa is based on the worship of a pantheon of deities known as Orishas. So I am vaguely familiar with quite a few Orishas. I did not know there were as many as there are. Okay. I did not realize there were 400 plus.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be real. I was thinking like, you know, a good 13, a good 20. When I pulled up 40 plus, I was like, oh, I'm vastly uninformed about how many, right? But so there are some very common Orishas that you probably have heard the name of. Like, we're thinking Alegwa or Papa Alegba, Ogun, Obatala, Yamaya, Oshun, Shango, Oya are some of the really, really popular ones that you probably have even heard casually. Or you've probably heard someone mess up what that Orisha actually represents. But Orishas are a diverse group of deities, each with their own distinct personalities and areas of influence. Across the Americas, the variations of the spirit of the root spirituality, like there's a lot of complexity to them, and I've really enjoyed learning about the Orishas, because unlike in the Christianity context that places like a Jesus Christ or a God on this place of perfection, the Orishas have flaws. some of them are drunk, some of them are less great, like they're flawed.
Which also, we don't know what Jesus did during his teenagedom.
But ain't nobody talking about it.
Skipped a whole piece.
Ain't nobody talking about
Jesus.
It.
Adult, 30-year-old Jesus. I'm like, what's going on?
Can you imagine toddler Jesus?
Yeah, dude.
25-year-old Jesus.
Just doing all sorts of crazy shit.
You know, like it really, like there's a sort of humility or like a humble aspect, but the Orishas have strong values that they stand big behind, you know? And so like in that way, I've enjoyed sort of learning about their stories. So I'm speaking a little bit about like certain spiritualities, but I do want to break down sort of what are the types of sort of African-infused, Yoruba-infused religious practice across the Americas. And by no means is this meant to be exhaustive, because there are a lot of variations. So my community out there, if I get something like, hey, you didn't mention this, I'm fully saying right now this is not an exhaustive list, right? So we can talk about in Brazil the Yoruba tradition and religions that have blended with the Catholic religion, also with indigenous practices and the Catholic religion that was brought by Portuguese colonizers to create a unique and syncretic religion known as Candomblé.
Candomblé.
Thank you.
The one from Nigeria is Ifa.
Ifa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, feel free to chime in here, Rafa. Don't let us just like, you know.
Pronunciation is so, Rafa was telling me this the other day, the pronunciation of Ifa really needs to express that. Like, it can't just
Ifa.
Be
Ifa.
It can't be Ifa.
Yeah, it can't just be Ifa. It needs to be Ifa. Yeah.
Well, it's really funny. That's an Irish name, Ifa.
Is it?
Yeah. Huh. One of my very good best friends tried to recommend that my daughter be named that. I'm like, nah, bro. Nah, not Ifa. I was
it's too complicated.
It's not that, but I was like, I just imagine getting some arguments. Like, that's my nigga Ifa. And I'm like, nah, I don't like that.
Ifa, for real?
Yeah,
for real?
Yes. I was like, no.
That'd be
kind of
dope.
No,
I'm not lying.
No,
for real in this.
Oh, my God.
Missed opportunity.
opportunity.
No, that's
missed opportunity.
No, absolutely
missed
not.
Opportunity. I said the name you just chose. Perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah, fits her perfectly.
And okay. So in Trinidad and Tobago, the Yoruba traditional religions have also had a significant impact, as we were speaking of, giving rise to a religion known as Shango. So Shango is the syncretic religion that combines elements of the Yoruba religion with Christianity. And there's always, of course, another element of an indigenous sort of identity within there. I did find it really interesting, and I was talking with Rafa about this the other day, mm-hmm. that as I was doing my research, a lot of people just say Yoruba and the colonizing. They don't ever say Yoruba, colonizer, indigenous.
They're always trying to erase us.
It's,
like,
really,
we don't
it's
exist.
Really interesting. Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting because Rafa was saying there's so much instrumentation that definitely comes, and there's certain elements that are absolutely not present in either one of those.
Right.
That is only present in indigenous, the indigenous. Yeah. So it was really interesting.
Pretty
that
fascinating.
Yeah, because I was made sure I found people actually from Nigeria who practice these religions. Yeah. For some reason, they don't necessarily name the indigenous part of it. They'll name the colonizer.
Right.
They'll name the Yoruba, but they will not name that indigenous as well.
Do humans hate indigenous people? What is that?
I think there's a strong...
Sometimes I think about that. I'm like, man, do we really just... Are we just like, man, fuck these people that were here. Like, what's going on?
I mean, I think the campaign to erase indigenous culture has been very successful.
I mean, that's the reason why so many indigenous people call themselves Hispanic.
Yeah.
It's so fucking offensive. The name of the people who enslaved them, who we fought revolutions to kill and kick them out of here, mm-hmm. they're like, and I'm Hispanic. Like, that shit goes deep. It goes deep.
It's intense. And so in Cuba, the Yoruba traditions and religions have... Also had a significant impact. And so that blended with the Catholic as well as indigenous practices give rise to Santeria.
I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball.
It's terrible.
Now that I realize, it's kind of offensive.
Yeah.
My boy from Long Beach talking about it.
Yeah.
And then one of the other big players.
I used to smoke hella weed to that song. Go on.
One of the other big players that also was interesting to look into was Haiti. So Haiti also has voodoo that is also in a similar context of like Cuba, Trinidad, and Brazil, comes from a blending of the slaves religion that were brought there, as well as some other elements of French mixed in there in terms of the language and other sort of aspects of it. Also important to note with voodoo, there is voodoo that is practiced in Haiti. There's also Creole voodoo that is practiced within like New Orleans and other Caribbean places. Also, these can blend more than just like Ifa. They can blend a lot of various different African spiritualities. And voodoo is a closed religion, which we'll get into talking to. But there's so much to get into here. Also, I do want to make sure I also mention hoodoo, which is a spiritual practice, which had a kind of a different element to it. So with hoodoo, whereas like Santeria, Shango, and Candomblé are like religions, hoodoo is thought to be more of a spiritual practice and actually is thought to be you can be a hoodoo practitioner and do flat out Christianity.
A lot of Santeros call themselves Christians too.
So that was really interesting to me that distinction was made with hoodoo. But you know, I think what I am curious about, Rafa, because I know you practice. Can you speak to your specific religious practice and how it shaped your general perspectives on like religion, including maybe the religion that you started practicing and you switched to? I'm just curious about your experience.
I was raised like the majority of Latin America. I was raised Catholic, but except for my grandma, you know, she had her altars who were saints. Except for she would do certain things like this time of month, I need to put like honey on my altar. I need to go down to the river, or I need to like go to like the beach and do a slice of watermelon or coconut. And so I ask her like Nani, what is this? Like, oh, it's Catholicism. But there was so many, I knew it was something different. And the way she would light candles at certain times, or she would say the moon's in a certain phase, and I need to pray specifically to Niño Jesus. And I was confused, like, how am I praying to baby Jesus if there's big Jesus? He's like, oh, they're two different people. I was like, okay. So basically through that, I was introduced to kind of the roots of Santeria, not knowing what it was. And then later, I met some babalaos and practitioners of Santeria, and I found more and also practiced more Native American religions, like Wayuu, you know, went to sweat lodges and all that, and saw the synchronism of these different practices. And now I've reached a point where, like, Santeria is definitely my foundation. Like, I no longer consider myself a Catholic. I mean, I understand a lot of people say, like, these religions are a fusion of Christianity, and a lot of it is, like, indigenous people and African people want to practice their religions, so they hid them behind Catholic mass. It wasn't necessarily that they wanted to be Christians or they even practiced Christianity. They said, I can't pray to Santa Barbara, okay, to Changos or Santa Barbara. I can't pray to El Agua. I will pray to Niño Jesus. So that's another thing, too. Like, all these religions, none of these things are, like, set in stone. Like,
yeah.
It's like Santeria, Hoodoo, Voodoo, Candomblé, Palo, all of these are huge. Like, for example, Voodoo is 21 different African religions and multiple indigenous religions. So you can go, like, I've talked to people who practice Ifa in Nigeria, and half the shit that I do that I thought was from Africa, they're like, we don't know what the hell that is. That's not some other shit. That's interesting. Like, yo, that's great, but yeah, at least we have the same Yamaya.
So, and then, can you explain, because I think altars are such a big part.
Absolutely.
Could you explain what an altar is?
Yeah, I guess, especially, I'll speak to, not so much about Candomblé, Palo, but in Santeria, like, you have your altar to your Orisha. It's like, everyone has your Orisha that is, like, basically your mother, your father, who is specifically the Orisha that your main connection. So you usually have your altar to your Orisha. And then you have your altar to your Egun. And Egun is all your ancestors. And that could be your blood ancestors. That could be just people who passed away in your life, who became your ancestors. And usually those are supposed to be in separate rooms. And those are, like, your two main altars. And these are, it's not like a stagnant religion. They need to be constantly fed. You need to, like, put water, like, drinks, gifts, certain times, certain days. And something that needs to be kinetic. It's not like you just go to church on Sunday. It's something, it's a daily practice that you do constantly. And that's with music, it's with dance, it's with food, it's with give them a shot of rum, give them water.
It's not some evil black magic that's done in the back room where you have some sort of a voodoo doll that you're sticking with needles. That is not a thing.
That's one thing I really loved about Sinners. It's like, anytime Voodoo Santeria is presented in popular media, it is always witchcraft, the devil, evil. And I felt like Sinners is one of the first times I've seen a popular media where they just showed the religious practice and just as what it is, as a sacred religious practice. And if anything, I love the way that they show the parallels, how, like, look at actually the nefariousness of Christianity and how it affects colonized people and black folks in particular in the South and the United States.
Right.
So I was really happy to see, like, you know, something I practice be presented in a way that I felt was accurate to a degree, you know?
Right. Actually, let's get into that for a little bit. So what Rafa is talking about in terms of the movie Sinners, we had the very, very prominent character of Annie as a character offering a lens into African spirituality within the Black American experience. So in his conclusion of Hoodoo, Coogler expands the spiritual landscape of the film beyond the Christian context and presents the lived and historical complexity of religious identity in Black America. So we see that in the character of Annie, who is a Hoodoo practitioner, who symbolizes the survival of African spiritual practices and worldviews against the violence of slavery. So Annie's function as a spiritual mediator invites the audience into a discourse on a Black spiritual understanding of protection, life and death. This is shown in her confrontation with a vampire. She's big energy. We see that. We see in that conversation with, oh my God, with Cornbread at the door.
Yeah.
Cornbread tried to say that her grease was still
like,
baby.
No, fuck that. You're dead, bro. You're fucking dead.
You must be out your mind.
Yeah.
Right? And Annie's like, it's a source of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Without her, they wouldn't even been able to figure out that it's vampires.
No, not at all.
They wouldn't have been able to figure out that it was vampires. They wouldn't have known how to fight.
How to kill them. Like, not at all.
We're seeing that she has the power of divination, where she throws down the shells, which is also a common practice in Kudu in terms of using those types of symbols. And she's kind of able to predict that both her and Smoke are going to end up dead in this. And because of that, she tells Smoke very, very specifically, do not let them turn me.
Yes.
Protect my soul. My soul deserves to be reunited with my ancestors.
Yes.
Also, something I thought was really interesting, because there is a practice within the church, at least Black churches, of wearing white.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting to me that in the last scene with Sammy going to the church, when he goes in, everyone in his father's church is wearing white. Is a Christian church is wearing white.
Yeah.
When they show Annie,
after she crosses over, she's also wearing white.
Yeah.
I think that was very particular to say that this practice, because there's things embedded within Black Christianity that absolutely come from some sort of an African identity.
Absolutely.
Action spirit. I mean, tongues, you know? I question even the gift of tongues. I have aunties who can speak in tongues. I ain't nowhere.
Yeah.
I ain't never seen that in a white church.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the white church, when they do it, it feels very forced.
Yeah. It feels like performance.
Yeah.
It feels like deep, deep, deep performance.
Yeah.
And so her character was very interesting, but she's not the only character that kind of embodies sort of an other spirituality, right? We see Sammy as a Legwa, playing that. So just to go into a Legwa, Papa Legwa, I think a Legwa is such a cool.
Also, Papa Legwa and Legwa are two different things.
Are they?
Yes, very much.
My bad, y'all.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But that's why we have someone on to help us.
Let me go into Papa Legwa. So Papa Legwa is a West African Caribbean voodoo deity who watches over the crossroads. So the last scene that Sammy does, where he's playing the second post-credit scene, where he's playing in the church and then he looks up, there's been a lot of contention behind what that scene actually is. Some people think that Sammy has sold his soul to the devil and it is playing that song and is looking at the devil himself. Other people are like, no, he's at the crossroads and he's playing for Papa Legba, and that is, you, when you go to the crossroads, you meet Papa Legba, you play a song, you give some sort of an offering, and Papa Legba just bestows upon you a gift. And so that's another place where it's been very intentionally planted, this other idea of spirituality. Also, even in the beginning of the movie, with the background, the folklore of griots is also really interesting, because those were essential figures within African villages that held sort of this place of storytelling, entertainers, and historians. For griots, and I was interested in it because we touch on it at the very beginning. We understand that Sammy is this, but I was not familiar with that terminology myself. And so griots were people, usually men, but sometimes they absolutely were women. And it was said that if it was a woman, that her vocal abilities were incredibly strong. But griots were in African village. They held very important roles of carrying on the history of that village, as well as usually being the historians and doing entertainment and music as spiritual and ceremony. Honestly, they equate the death of a griot within a village to the death of that community. It's like that strong.
No, it's huge.
Yeah, super, super strong character. So we see that also sort of pop up. There's crazy amounts. There's Smoke and the Stack Twins are inspired by the Yoruba deity Ibehi. Actually, Rafa,